After thousands of new electric cars were destroyed by their manufacturer, documentary filmmaker Chris Payne made a film about what had happened called Who Killed the Electric Car? It caused quite a stir in 2006 and won a number of awards. Now, 5 years later, automobile manufacturers are making electric cars again, and consumer demand is growing. So Chris Payne is back with a new film called Revenge of the Electric Car, and he joins us now along with Elon Musk, the entrepreneur at Tesla Motors. The film premieres a week from today at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema, and I welcome both of you to our show. Hi.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Chris, Who Killed the Electric Car followed GM's recall of its EV1 electric car not long after it was first introduced. Wasn't that a controversial decision at the time?
It was controversy for anyone who had a chance to drive those cars because they were really terrific. And I think GM had pushed the envelope in what a car could be. And then the guys who developed the technology got outvoted in the boardroom, and the people that had made the money for GM, the truck guys, decided to kill the program, and that's where our movie started.
But that car was effective. Was it being sold, or was it only being tried out on select customers? Because nobody ever came to me and said, "Hey, would you like to buy an EV1 or try it out?"
Yeah, well, I wish they had. It was limited to California and Arizona, and I think between all the car makers, about 5,000 electric cars were made in that program to comply with the California regulation.
And in the film, the people who drove them said they loved them. So how did GM and other car manufacturers react to your film, which won all sorts of awards: the Broadcast Film Critics Association Award, Best Documentary Feature 2007, the Canberra International Film Festival Audience Award?
Well, I don't think they were very happy with the film because we basically documented probably the worst decision they had made in a long, long time. And they took ads out against the film or bought our keywords on Google, things like this. So we were, let's say, persona non grata at GM.
Elon, you have a solid reputation as an entrepreneur. Didn't you start PayPal?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, had you seen Chris's film before you decided to create your own electric car company?
I had not, although it certainly was encouraging when I saw it. My interest in electric cars actually goes back about 20 years to when I was in college. I've really thought that it's the future for transportation for a very long time. At the risk of answering in a long way, I think even if you take away the environmental factors and the national security factors, we obviously need to have a sustainable mode of transport, because tautologically, if it's unsustainable, it will end. And what will actually happen is that the cost of gasoline will get very, very expensive, and you'll have economic collapse unless there's an alternative.
But you didn't go into another online business. In fact, everything that you've come up with since then has involved manufacturing, which makes life a lot more difficult, doesn't it?
Well, I certainly had to learn a lot since I'd never manufactured anything, going into went into the rocket business and the car business. But I must say, I rather like manufacturing. I think it's really interesting.
Except that no new car company has come along for a long time. In fact, after World War II, there were a number of attempts to start companies, and they were all kind of killed by the big three. And now the big three are killing their own cars.
you make it sound so dire. Admittedly, if you look at big three, I think the youngest of the big three is, I think, Chrysler, and they were started in the 20s or thereabouts. So, it's roughly 90 to 100 years older are our three competitors. And that would perhaps not bode well for a new entrant. But I do think that when you have a substantial quantum change in technology, that does provide an opportunity for new entrants that wouldn't otherwise be there. I mean, I would not start a car company just to make another gasoline car. That would be completely pointless.
Now, how significant is it that you named your car after Nikola Tesla?
Well, it's really named in honor of a great scientist and engineer, perhaps better than Musk Motors. has a better ring to it, I think. Tesla is someone who deserves more recognition in the sort of the popular mindset. He's obviously very well known in science because units of magnetism are units of Tesla. We named the company in honor of him.
Yeah, and plus AC electricity was really what he pioneered, which is what this new generation of electric cars runs on.
Is that what's happened that's different from the previous generation?
Yeah. There's a huge jump up in the way that you can control the power and the smoothness of these cars. So that's why they don't feel like, you know, what people think of a golf cart at all anymore.
Well, part of the film involves the decision by Bob Lutz at General Motors to create a new car, which is the Chevy Volt. He'd been a vocal opponent of the idea of electric cars for a long time before that. What happened?
You know, Bob is one of the centers of our film because he really had this about-face on electric cars. And he admits in the film, inspired by Elon, he said, what if these guys in Silicon Valley can start a company out of an electronics tradition? Why the hell aren't we doing it here? And he got the Volt. He said, okay, we'll put a gasoline backup for everybody who's worried about running out of power.
Because hybrids were already becoming quite popular.
Right. Toyota was making money, and they had the only thing available in 2008 when gas prices shot up. So Bob championed this thing and got that Volt to market. And I guess it just came out this year.
Well, why couldn't he have just gone back and built the EV1 again? If everybody loved it so much.
Well, a lot of people made that argument, but I think that GM felt that they needed to have something that anyone in middle America could buy, and the backup of gasoline made everybody feel okay.
Well, Elon, haven't there been some daunting challenges to creating an electric car that could appeal to most drivers and also that most drivers could afford?
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. It's particularly difficult for a small company like Tesla. You know, people often wonder why we didn't create a mass market car right from the beginning.
Said you created one that cost $109,000.
Right, and it was slightly hurtful because the implication is that somehow we're just very elitist, or we felt that there was a shortage of sports cars for rich people, or something like that.
And that's not true?
No, it's not true. I tried to make it very clear from the beginning in a blog that I wrote, which was the Tesla master plan, or rather simple master plan, which is that we would start off with a small production car, a low production car, that would necessarily be at a high price because we didn't have the economies of scale of a large company. And then we'd go to step two would be a medium price, medium volume, which is the Model S that's coming out next year. And then the third step would be a low price, high volume car, which we'll get to hopefully in about 4 years or so. But if we could have done that car from the beginning, that's what we would have done.
Now, so you had to first develop the car, and development is very expensive, so you came up with an expensive car.
No, that's not quite the reason. You're familiar with the notion of economies of scale, I'm sure.
Sure. If you're making 100,000 cars, it costs a lot less to make each car than if you're making 10,000 cars, and that's
exactly.
a lot less expensive than if you're making 10 cars.
Absolutely. But in order to make 100,000 cars, you need $1 billion factory. And we didn't have $1 billion. So
PayPal, wasn't that successful?
A big one?
I was joking. I said you didn't make that much money from PayPal after all.
No, unfortunately not.
Isn't another big problem just range? According to the U.S. EPA, the Roadster, your first car, can travel 244 miles on a single charge. That's longer than pretty much any of the other cars that have been built.
Yeah, I like Bob Lutz, and I admire what Nissan's doing with the Leaf, and I hope more car companies make electric cars. But I am a little disappointed that we haven't seen anything in the high range level as far as electric is concerned. I actually thought something like the Roadster would at least be copied by now since we unveiled it 4 years ago, but it hasn't. And next year we're coming out with the Model S, which is going to have a range of over 300 miles, despite being it's a fairly large four-door sedan.
Chris, why is it so difficult to develop a battery that can travel 300 miles?
Well, that's,
or is it just that the battery is so big? It has to be so big, it would make the car very heavy, and that would undermine the whole idea of working on electricity.
Well, I think there's a balance, you know, in terms of the price of batteries and the range you can get from it. Certainly advanced, and of course, Elon can speak to this because he actually has a whole engineering department of battery makers. But batteries have advanced a lot, even since the EV1 that GM had in the mid-90s. And thanks to lithium batteries, which are in our cell phones and laptops and stuff, you can get a lot more performance than you could even 10 years ago out of a battery.
Yeah, and there's really two things to the battery. It's the energy density, which is how much energy per unit weight a battery can hold, and that's going to define your maximum range. And then there's the cost per kilowatt hour, which is, you know, sort of how much does it cost to have a battery of a certain energy storage size. And both of those have improved significantly. When I was referring to the Tesla strategy of starting with initially a high-end car, and then moving to a medium and then low. There are really two elements. One is the economies of scale, and the other is that it takes time to optimize any given technology. So if you think of, say, cell phones, even if you'd had $1 trillion to spend on it in, say, 1985, you could not have made the iPhone. You had to go through a series of technology improvements, a series of iterations, right, until you could get to something compelling.
I think the other thing that the Tesla had going for that Roadster was telling all the gearheads, the people that liked performance cars, that, whoa, look at this. This is an electric car, but it's the fastest car on the road. It looks sexy. They didn't even put the word electric on it, which as an advocate, I thought, where is the word electric? And they said, no, we're just going to be an incredible car. And I think that made a kind of an impression on maybe a subliminal level.
My guess is Chris Payne, whose latest film is Revenge of the Electric Car, and Elon Musk, who makes an electric car and is one of the people featured in the film, which premieres a week from today at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema. The other problem that people have talked about with electric cars is recharging the battery. And some countries actually have recharging stations as part of their gas stations. Do we have anything like that in this country, Elon?
Some countries like that have all the parking meters where you swipe your credit card to get 2 hours. You could also swipe it and get 2 hours of charge. So the power is already going into the parking meter, so suddenly you can deploy this very quickly. So, but in the U.S., I think we're doing a catch-up game on that score.
Is that because, as you suggest in your first film, oil companies fought so hard against the idea of the electric car?
Well, it's actually a fact that they fought viciously against building charging stations in California. They had all kinds of disinformation campaigns. They didn't want to lose their, you know, $1 billion a day they import from foreign countries and resell to us as gasoline.
So, but car companies caved in to the pressure from the oil companies?
I think everybody in the first film, everybody had their own interests. You know, the car companies thought they couldn't make money, and they were determined to beat California on its regulation. And the oil companies just thought, oh, let's just squish this while we can. So that was, we had the opportunity to, like, tell that story, and I'm glad we did when we did.
So, Elon, if we get to a point where we're producing as many electric cars as we produce gas-powered cars, could we get them down to around the same price, or will they always be more expensive because of the nature of the technology?
No, in fact, I think they will be better than gasoline cars and lower cost. And in fact, if you look at the Roadster or the Model S, or let's take the Model S as an example, without subsidies, the Model S would cost about $57,000. Now, that may seem like a lot, but when you look at the Model S compared to, say, an Audi or BMW or Mercedes, I think it's actually a superior car in terms of handling, performance, fit and finish, styling. It'll actually be the safest car in the world. So the Model S will be the only car that is 5-star crash rated in every category by 2012 standards. So it literally will be the safest car in the world. So really the challenge here is to make the electric cars better, and that's what we've done with Model S. And then when we get to our mass market version, our third generation vehicle, again, it needs to be better. And then the other thing to consider is the cost differential between gasoline and electricity. So depending upon where you are in the world, if you're in the U.S., we have relatively cheap gas. But even here, you would save about $1,500 to $2,000 a year.
That's because the equivalent cost of electricity is about $1 a gallon. So
yeah, exactly.
That over time, that really pays off.
Now, the places where we're seeing cars being made are Detroit, Nissan in Japan, and Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Is Silicon Valley going to be the future Detroit, Elon?
Well, no one would have predicted that Silicon Valley was going to be the future of a computer when they started. So what do you say?
That's true, actually. Well, I don't know if Silicon Valley is going to be the future Detroit, but I do think, I can tell you from a standpoint of Tesla, we do intend to make a lot of cars, and we hope to achieve the full capacity of the factory that we bought from Toyota and GM, the NUMMI factory, which is about 500,000 vehicle a year capacity. We want to get to that capacity as soon as we reasonably can.
Yeah, and GM's making all of their Volts in their Hamtramck plant in Detroit. It's really remarkable. They were making Buicks and Cadillacs, and now they're making Volts.
You were making yours with a British company, weren't you, Lotus?
Well, Lotus had the contract to assemble the chassis of the car, but then the body was made in France, and then the glider, the non-powertrain portion of the car, was shipped to California, where we manufacture the powertrain, install the powertrain, and then deliver it to customers.
Yeah, and the Nissan Leaf is going to be made entirely in Tennessee for the U.S. market, and they're retrofitting a huge plant there that used to make trucks and so forth.
So what is your prediction? Do you think that this is going to take off this time? Because there still seems to be, there are a lot of people who would love to have this kind of car, mm-hmm. but we haven't seen hybrids just dominate the market. They've done well, but there's still been quite a bit of resistance.
I think most of the resistance has to be is because nobody's had a chance to actually drive these cars. So it's all a theory or, you know.
Are they better to drive? You've driven them, Chris.
I've been driving them for 10 years. I do. I am really nonpartisan. This technology just is a better car. And then it's got the bonus of the domestic energy and the environmental things. So I think people will be surprised. The price of oil will drive the rate of adoption, but also the availability of cars.
Yeah. In fact, if I may add to that, the Model S that we'll be coming out with next year, if you pick the performance version of the Model S, it'll have a 0 to 60 miles per hour time of 4.4 seconds, which is faster than a Porsche 911, and it has better handling. So in other words, it can corner better than a Porsche and accelerate better than a Porsche. That's pretty good for a big four-door electric sedan.
Roy from Lebanon, New Jersey, one of our listeners, asks, how long will the batteries last? What's the cost of replacing them and the environmental impact of manufacturing them?
Well, California and many states regulate that the batteries are warrantied for 10 years, which is longer than the engine warranty on engines going to be. The technology's come along so far that you can really protect these things. And then afterwards, they're good for 100 other uses, either recycling or put them as backup power systems and power stations, things like this.
Now, Elon, the film gets into your personal life and also seems to reveal...
Thanks, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Seems to reveal some trade secrets. Were you concerned? Were the other manufacturers concerned?
Oh, sure. Yeah. They took big risks letting us in, and a lot of car makers said absolutely not. Elon took a risk, and Bob Watts convinced GM to do it. And, you know, the deal with them was no footage would be released until 2011. That was after Tesla went public, after GM came out of bankruptcy. So it was quite a wild ride.
Elon, do you think that you're going to work out the rocket problems anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely. we've launched successfully several times, and in fact, in a few months we'll be doing our first mission to the space station. We'll be docking with the space station. You know, the space shuttle retired earlier this year, and NASA chose SpaceX to be the principal replacement.
Well, I'm waiting for an electric rocket.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I wish that was physically possible, but unfortunately there's no way to get around Newton's third law.
Revenge of the Electric Car opens a week from today at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema. My great thanks to Chris Payne for coming by to talk about his film, and to Elon Musk, who is the entrepreneur responsible for Tesla Motors, which is producing electric cars. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.